Yeah, I hope you have a wonderful time on Saturday. I'm very sorry I'm not going to be there. I don't like missing those kinds of things, but unfortunately I'll be down in Augusta, Georgia, and I'll miss being here for that, I don't know what you call it, a spread, a feast, a banquet. But whatever these ladies provide, you know what it is. And then to listen to those children, it's worthwhile. I used to look forward when I was a little boy from the school. We used to have our annual treat for the Sunday school, and between 100 and 120 children, and the parents came, the place was packed up that night. We called it the Sunday school soiree. If you've never heard that word before, just look up your Webster's dictionary when you get home, and you'll find it there, S-O-I-R-E-E, pronounced soiree. So we always had our Sunday school soiree. Look it up and see what that means. That's perhaps what you're going to have on Saturday night. Sorry about that. Let me mention our guest prayers. Kindly remember very specially your prayers. The state of things in Zaire is very sad just now. I was reading the report that came over on the computer there yesterday. In a bad way. The pets are out, but there's others who are not out. And the soldiers have come in, and you don't know who's for you and who's against you. It's like a civil war, and you can't be on one side or on the other. And they've looted them. They've taken all they can take, taking whatever cars were there. But our brother Pet put his car in some place and took the wheels off it and hid the wheels. So they won't be able to take it away without wheels. So if they ever to go back in and get it again, and if he knows where the wheels are and they don't, he'll be able to get the wheels back on. That is, if they can get back in. Kindly remember all those missionaries. And not also but the native Christians. They're slaughtering one another, killing one another indiscriminately, stealing. In fact, there's one incident where rebel soldiers came in to the refugee camp where the Johnsons are and said they would have to search. So after searching, they said, it's all right. Everything seems to be all right. So off they went. Sometime later, back to come again, they said, we've been sent back. We've got to search this camp. Suspicious of something. And they had to take Mr. Johnson with them and started searching the camp. And they found a number of hand grenades hidden in the camp. They knew where to go and find them. You know why? They placed them there when they were there the first time. And then blaming the missionaries and the refugees for storing hand grenades ready to rebel. So they need our prayers. You see, those folks who are governed by communism, telling a lie doesn't seem to be anything to them. They'll do all sorts of things to lay accusations against the missionaries and the Christians and so on. They need our prayers. They're in a bad, bad way. It almost makes you weak to read it. So I don't know how long they'll be staying across there, whether they need to come home or not. The pecs are at least out of Zaire just now and over in another part of the country. Just thought I'd tell you that so you'll be able to pray for them more intelligently. Let's read from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Read about Joseph. I suppose you thought I was going to read about Mary, but I'm going to read about Joseph. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife. Knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Trust the Lord to bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow again for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the pleasant circumstances in which we have found tonight. Thou hast been ever so kind to us. We think of others who are not so well off, others who are in positions where they don't know what another day may bring forth. Think of those who left the comfort of home and went away across to other countries to carry the gospel tidings to other people. Now they find themselves in difficulties, their goods having been taken from them, stripped of all they had in this life, not knowing where to go. Oh God, we pray for these dear missionaries and the local Christians and the people amongst whom they've been working. Grant, O God, that those who are in rebellion will have better judgment, will settle down to a life of peace, and may the gospel yet be proclaimed with joy. We commit them all to thee now and ourselves. As we've been reading thy word, speak to our hearts now. We'll give thee all the glory in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. One of the great fundamental truths of the Christian faith is the virgin birth. I like to remind my own heart, and I remind you people too, that we're living in strange days. You'll find people today who want to be accepted as Christians. Some of them want to be accepted as preachers. They'll occupy the platform or the pulpit, and they'll have no hesitation in saying, well, it doesn't matter whether a person believes in the virgin birth or not, as long as they believe in the Lord Jesus. Let me emphasize to all our hearts tonight, there can be no real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if one denies the virgin birth. If Joseph the carpenter was the father of the child that was born and called Jesus, if he was his father, then you and I have no gospel to preach or listen to. If he was begotten of Joseph, then he did not have an eternal existence. If he was born of Joseph, then he was the seed of Jehoiakim, upon whom there was a curse, he was that line. And he no longer could be reckoned the Savior of the world. If he was born of Joseph, or begotten of Joseph, then he was born in sin, and could not take the place of the guilty sinner. So we have no Savior. We have no gospel to preach. It is an absolute important fact, a foundation truth, that the Bible declares the virgin birth. That's why I read to you those verses from Matthew. Because the first person to be convinced of the virgin birth had to be Joseph. Have you ever sat down and tried to think like this? Here was Joseph, a young man, growing up in Nazareth. He wasn't a rich man, but he was an industrious man. He had his little business up there as a carpenter. He wouldn't be making a lot of money. He'd be making some stools and chairs for people, perhaps tables, things like that. And making some things for the men who worked out in the farm, like yokes for putting on the ox and so on. Joseph the carpenter. And in the town there was a young girl, I don't know her second name. Everybody knew her as Mary. And one day Joseph was in contact with Mary, you know, the two of them were having a conversation and they'd come to like each other. Nothing unusual about that, is there? That happens. You people sitting here tonight were married, you know that. It happens. You look back and you wonder how, but it happens. Whether she looked the right way or you looked the right way at the right time and so on, it becomes a courtship. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing unnatural about it. Although every mother seems to think that when her daughter starts looking at someone else, that she's too young. It better wait a while. You know what I mean? I know one woman that said to my mother once, when my brother John was going to get married, he was 27 years of age. And this woman said, "Why, your son John getting married?" She said, "Oh my, and he's the same age as my boy Peter. I couldn't think of Peter getting married at 27. She says, "Tiddy, what age were you when you got married?" "Oh, that was different. She was married when she was 18. But she didn't want her oldest boy to go and get married when he was 27. Oh, no. Yeah. We forget things at times, but for young people to grow up, they come to an age where they're drawn to the opposite sex. God made us that way. It was God's idea, not man's. He made us that way, that we're drawn to the opposite sex. And here's Joseph and Mary, a young couple, up in the town of Nazareth. And they begin to their courtship. And then there came the day when the engagement took place. It's called in the scriptures the betrothal. Now, here, they go to the camp in the summer, perhaps in July, and they meet somebody there and they get engaged in August and they want to get married at Christmas, then they're looking for a divorce before next July. That's the way it goes now. Quick. But not then. The engagement took place and it was usually a year later before the actual joining together for the wedding. However, the engagement was binding. I don't know if they've got this law in the United States or not. I've never investigated it. But in certain countries, there's a law, and it's called breach of promise. Breach of promise. If a young man gives a ring to a young lady, they're engaged. If he fails to keep that engagement, if he breaks it off, it's called breach of promise. That ring was a promise that he was going to marry her. The date may have been set, but if he refuses, he can be sued at court. And of course, sometimes they've taken quite a lot of money off them for that law, breach of promise. Well, here's Joseph, and he's engaged to this young lady called Mary, well respected in the town of Nazareth. I suppose that during that year that Joseph would be paying visits, you know, and going for a walk with Mary, and they'd be having conversations, and perhaps when he went along to see her, he'd be taking some little gifts to her. But one day he went along, and he was shocked. You could have knocked him over with a feather that day. Joseph, a respected businessman in the town, a carpenter. Mary, a respected young woman. They knew their genealogy. They knew their friends. They knew their relatives. Joseph went in. Mary says, I have news for you, Joseph. What is it? I'm pregnant. What? Now Joseph knew, and this is the main point I want to press right now. Joseph knew if that was true, that he was not the father. He knew that. If you had been in Joseph's place, what would you have done? Would you have breached your agreement? You had cause. He could have gone back to the Old Testament. He could have had her exposed. But there's two ways he could have done that. He could have made it public. And it would be a public disgrace, the public scandal. But Joseph was a righteous man, a just man, a loving man. He said, I can't do that to Mary. And I love Mary. I'll have to treat her in a different way. But yet, he was not responsible. What could he do? And he's rolling this thing around in his mind, wondering, planning, what can I do? I know what I'll do. I'll not take the road of public example. I'll not make a public spectacle. I'll not let that scandal get around. I'll do it privately. And he was quite entitled to from the book of Deuteronomy. I'll just put her away privately. I will not tell anybody about it. That's what he intended doing. Now, suppose Joseph, just suppose that Joseph had refused to marry Mary. Where would you and I have been tonight? We'd have had no gospel. There would be no Savior for us. What could we do? And while he was on the horns of a dilemma, he still had love for Mary. But this something had come in that upset him. What can I do? I'll do it privately. I wonder if Joseph had gone on his knees and asked the Lord to give him guidance, what would he have done? But right when he was at that point and had made up his mind what he thought he should do, God sent a message from high heaven. And he sent a messenger. And the messenger brought this delightful message to Joseph. Now, suppose you got a message the way Joseph got it. And the messenger came to Joseph in a night, in a dream. He said, don't you be afraid to take Mary to be your lawfully wedded wife. Was she that already? Yes. According to law, the engagement had taken place. He was bound. But the ceremony had not yet taken place. It was in that year of the betrothment, the engagement. Don't you be afraid to carry it through. You take Mary to be your lawfully wedded wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, I guarantee Joseph didn't understand that. He couldn't have explained that either. Neither can you, neither can I. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And when that child is born, it will be a boy. She'll give birth to a son. That child will be a son that's given. the child that will be born. So said the word of God. And Joseph, when that child is born, you'll call his name Jesus. We're singing about that in that hymn. It's a wonderful name they gave him, for he would save his people from their sin. You see, Joseph was in a state of confusion. And there's a lot of people today in that state of confusion regarding the virgin birth of Christ. They've even tried to alter the words in the Bible. They don't like that word, virgin. They say, a young lady. If she is a young lady, if she is a young maiden, she is a virgin. So what are they trying to argue about? And when you come over here to the New Testament, it says very distinctly, this was the fulfillment of the prophet saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He was God who became a man. And here's the channel through which the Lord Jesus Christ would take upon himself humanity. He'd be born of a virgin. It's an absolute essential truth to the Christian faith. If Christ was not born of the virgin, then he was a deceiver. So those who deny the virgin birth are making out that Christ was a deceiver and claimed to be somebody that he wasn't. He said, I and the Father are one. It was the Father who sent me, and so on. If he was sent from God, and the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was one of the Godhead three. Yet he stepped from the throne of his glory, came down to this earth, and was born in Bethlehem. You know, at this time of the year especially, there'll be crowds and crowds of people will be going to Bethlehem. And they'll go down into that little cave place. There's two big chapels built there. One belongs to the Roman Catholics and one belongs to the Greek Orthodox. They've got that place divided now downstairs. They've got a wall built. Don't know how long it'll take them to break that wall down between them, but it's the Greek Orthodox who have the little stair that goes down to the place where they said the manger was. The Roman Catholics have the other place, so they've got to get permission. At Christmas Eve, they've got to get permission from the Greeks to make use of this. I've told you this before here. On Christmas Eve here, you perhaps will see it on the screen of the TV. And you'll see them go down into the chapel belonging to the Roman Catholics, and one of those priests will go down with one of those sisters of misery following after him, and he'll open that glass case and he'll take out this wax doll and hold it, give it to her, and she'll take this big wax doll and she'll lead the procession. And they'll carry that down into the Greek place and down the stair and lay it on the straw. What ridiculous nonsense. The day that I was there, I've been down there at least twice. One of the times I was down, I waited till all our own people had gone away and I just stood on there for a little while. And folks were coming in, different parties coming in, and thought, I wonder what these guides are telling them. So I stood away up in a corner and took out my testament. I said, if you'll listen for a moment or two, I'll read you something about what happened here. And they all looked up and I started to read from the Word of God. And there was just a silence. They listened all right. And when I was coming away, one man came up. I think he was a German, but he could speak a bit of English. He said, thank you. Thank you for reading that scripture. They go down there, they don't think of the scriptures. It was Christ that was born. He was born of Mary. He was not begotten of Joseph. That's what you get in the genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren, and so on. Begat. But when it comes down to the birth of Christ, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. He was not begotten of Joseph. He was born of Mary. See, a child is begotten of its father, but born of its mother. I've heard it said if it was the other way around, there were less children. I don't know if that's true or not. But Mary gave birth to a child. It's the virgin birth. You see, Joseph here, of course, in the midst of all his confusion, he had the visitation of the angel. The angel brought the message to him. Now, if the angel brought the message, that's a message from heaven. God sends his messenger. Are we prepared to accept that message that the angel brought? Or do we reject the message from heaven? If the messenger from heaven said that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, do we accept that? We cannot explain it. You cannot understand it by logic, because it had never happened before. It's never happened since. We're preaching one night down at Hyde Park in London, Albert Burnham and I. Albert was on the platform at the time. He used to take an hour, and I used to take an hour each night, 7 nights a week for 8 weeks. It's hard going because we had 2 hours during the day along at the Tower Hill near the Tower of London. But this night there was a fellow in the audience, and he was trying to heckle Albert. And Albert had done something about the virgin birth. Hey! He said, you think if my daughter came home and told me that she was pregnant and she was a virgin, you think I'd believe her? No, but look down and know, he said, if it was your daughter, I wouldn't believe her either. And that silenced them. Never asked her a question. But here it was different with Mary. She's the only one. It never happened before. It's never happened since. Here was a divine act. Let me remind you, and you've heard me at this before, four ways in which God has ordained to produce human bodies. First, by creation. Only God did that. He took the dust of the earth, the red clay, fashioned Adam's body. Adam had no mother. God fashioned his body, breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. How did Adam come to be a man on this earth? By creation, not by evolution. He didn't evolve from a chimpanzee. Old Tom Baird, a rather witty old man, wrote that little ditty about that. I was a little polywog beginning to begin. Then I was a slimy toad with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey up a banyan tree. Now I am a doctor with a big DD. Polywog, slimy toad, monkey, then a man. He says, glory be to nothing for this planless plan. That's evolution. Man didn't come onto this earth by evolution. He was part of God's creation. God said, let us create man in our image. And when God created man, he created woman in man. Eve was created in Adam. She was in Adam before she became Eve. The man came here by creation. But there came the day when God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. I shall make a help meet for him. And a deep sleep came upon Adam. And God effected a great operation. He took that part out of Adam, that rib. And with that, he constructed Eve, made Eve. He produced Eve. See, Adam was created. Eve was produced from something that was created in Adam. But then the time came when Cain was born, and Abel was born, and Seth was born. And Adam and Eve had many sons and many daughters. They were born by procreation, the way that we've all been brought into this world. That's the way that God ordained it. Three different ways: creation, production, procreation. The same God was able to produce another body in the womb of the Virgin, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. A body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. That body that was produced in the Virgin's womb was prepared by God. Not only prepared by God, produced under the power of the Holy Spirit, and when the fullness of time was come, it was possessed by God the Son. The triune God operating in that one that was born, the virgin birth. The same God who could create and could produce and set in motion the great principle of procreation was also able to produce the virgin birth. Christ was born of the virgin. You see, he was God. He never ceased to be God. He became man, and he's never ceased to be man. So that cuts right in all the heresies that are being produced today and propagated today. The Spiritists, as well as others, the Jehovah's Witnesses have fallen down in this. It's rather clever, but it's not scriptural. They say that when this child was born, he was just like everybody else, he was human. Nothing divine about him when he was born. But at his baptism, the divine nature came into him when the Spirit descended like a dove. And that was when the divine nature came in and took possession of him. And then when he was on the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that was when the divine nature left him. And then as Jesus he died. That's blasphemy. Blasphemy. This same Jesus who was crucified was the one who was buried in Joseph's tomb. And when you come to 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter of the resurrection, go down through that chapter and here's what you'll find. It was Christ who died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And right down through that wonderful chapter of the resurrection, it's Christ all the way. The divine nature never left him. He remained as God's Son and God manifest in the flesh. He went to Calvary's cross and died because he'd become a man. And he died on the cross. And being God, he had the power to dismiss his spirit. He had the power to lay down his life. And he had the power to take it up again. There's no other person had that power. There's not a man who has ever lived. And no one alive today who could say, I can lay down my life and I can take it up again. You can't do that. But he had power, for he never ceased to be God with divine power. He willingly laid down his life and then he took it up again. He was God who possessed that body that was prepared for him. Here was not only the visitation of the angel, but the revelation of the angel concerning Mary who would bring forth that son. But now, it's a quotation from the scripture. I've often wondered if that angel and Joseph, as it were having a kind of dialogue that time. See, Joseph was a very religious man. He came of the line of David, an Orthodox Jew. And the angel, perhaps, suppose he said to him, Joseph, haven't you read the Old Testament? And you're acquainted with your Bible? Have you never read the prophecy of Isaiah, where it says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son? Joseph immediately would have to, yes, that's right. We've read it often, we've quoted it often. Well, this is it. Poor Joseph, if he was staggered at the message he got from Mary, he'd be blown right out of it with a message of the angel. Why? My Mary, the girl I'm engaged to, is she the one that the prophet Isaiah spoke about? Is this prophecy going to be fulfilled with my Mary? My girl, who's going to be my wife? Is this it? That's it, Joseph. The fullness of the time has come. Oh my. And she is the chosen vessel. Much grace of the Lord. Joseph awoke when he realized that the angel was telling him that the scripture was about to be fulfilled and this child that would be born would be Emmanuel, God with us, and we're going to call him Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. Oh, what a consolation for Joseph. No longer did he think of this business of divorce or the putting of her away. Oh, no. I believe he hurried up as quick as he could to Mary's home. Said, Mary, when are we going to have the service? It's time. I have had a message from heaven. I agree with you now. I believe what you've told me. But I've been told the same thing. Let's get together. And Joseph and Mary came together. He took Mary to be his wife. And the day came when they had to go down to Bethlehem. And you know why they had to go to Bethlehem. And while they were at Bethlehem, the child was born. A virgin birth. Oh, let them deny it who want to deny it. But if they deny it, they're lost souls. There's one of the foundation rocks of the Christian faith. He was born of a virgin. It's one of the great V's of the Christian doctrine. His virgin birth. If he hadn't been born of the virgin, he could never have lived a virtuous life. But take him from the time of his birth right through, his life is virtuous in every detail. And if he hadn't lived a virtuous life, he could never have died that victorious death, that vicarious death, followed by the victory of his resurrection. Beloved, we have a Savior that we needn't be ashamed of. We have one who was born without sin. We needn't be ashamed of that. We have one who died to provide salvation. We should be proud of that. Like Joseph, we should accept the message that was brought from heaven and rejoice in the fact that God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the one and the glory today. While men spoke evil against Him, while they ridiculed Him, while they said we were not born of fornication, while they put Him on a cross, said we have no king but Caesar, let this man be crucified. Oh God, we thank Thee for the wonders that surround His person. We thank Thee for the wonder of Him coming from above, and the marvel of the incarnation. And we're rejoicing in the fact that one day we're going to see Him, the one whom having not seen we love. God grant that each of us shall have greater appreciation for the person of Thy beloved Son. Now be with us as we enter a new week, with the difficulties that some will have to face. Thou knowest those who are sick. God be with them. Bless them. Remember those who are looking after the sick ones and the aged ones. Think of a brother Larry Summerlin, way down to see his mother again. Think of that dear old lady and how often she visited with us here. We pray that Larry's visit may be able to help her and encourage her. Be with others who are anxious about their relatives. Hear us now in these things. Take us all home in safety. For the Lord Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.